Benetech's Bookshare project has gone into public beta. The project, which featured on Main Menu last year, allows blind people to share scanned books. At this stage, the full service is only available to US citizens, although the rest of the world can check out the public domain titles available. The website can be found at www.bookshare.org. KEI Pearson and High Software Incorporated have announced that they're partnering to develop a course offering that will assist web developers using Microsoft FrontPage to achieve website accessibility. KEI Pearson will offer training in High Software's ACK Verify and ACK Repair for FrontPage. Starting in February 2002, KEI Pearson's FrontPage training classes will include a module that discusses accessibility and Section 508 compliance. The new course offering, which will provide full training on these accessibility verification and repair tools, will be available from KEI Pearson in April 2002. Section 508 of the United States Rehabilitation Act amendments went into effect on June the 21st last year. The section mandates that federal agencies must ensure that all electronic and information technology purchased, maintained, or developed meets the accessibility standards established by the U.S. Access Board. Although federally mandated, state governments and private organizations can benefit by adhering to these standards. High Software's website accessibility verification, repair and monitoring software solutions assist agencies in achieving and maintaining accessible websites in compliance with Section 508 and W3C Priority 1 accessibility guidelines. These solutions, available as standalone applications and integrated add-ons for Microsoft FrontPage, help organizations develop long-term strategies to achieve web content accessibility. They allow multiple users to work collaboratively on website accessibility, resulting in reductions in time and resources allocated to Section 508 compliance. An Amsterdam district court has ordered Kazaa to stop offering its free Kazaa Media Desktop music downloading software through its website, according to a communique issued by the court. But the software is still available on the site at the time of recording, and it's being downloaded at the rate of more than one copy per second, according to a counter on the Kazaa website. It's understood that the company has changed hands, and the new Australian owners are arguing that Dutch law doesn't apply to them anymore. Deceptive junk email is the latest target for federal regulators in the United States who are seeking to purge the internet of fraud. The Federal Trade Commission in the United States will announce in the next couple of weeks its first effort to prosecute con artists who specifically use email spam to dupe consumers. That's according to Howard Beals, the agency's Director of Consumer Protection. Many scams sent by email often involve business opportunities that promise huge earnings but provide few details and often turn out to be illegal pyramid schemes. Internet chain letters and promotions selling lists of millions of email addresses to continue the cycle of spam are also common. Beals said people who get spam they don't like should forward it to the FTC, which gets 10,000 such emails daily. Other spam scams involve work-at-home programs such as envelope stuffing and craft assembly, bogus weight loss products that promise to melt away fat cells, and cable descrambler kits that would be illegal if they worked and more often than not don't. 19 states in the United States have passed spam-specific laws that prohibit false messages or headers and require labels in the subject line or the option of declining a marketer's future mailings. Beal says the agency will pursue those who trap consumers by using their requests to unsubscribe from email lists to sell their address to other spammers. A day before the major record labels asked for a one-month halt in their lawsuit against file song-swapping service Napster, a federal judge told them she'd turn close scrutiny on their online practices, according to transcripts of a 16th of January meeting. Judge Marilyn Hall Patel was prepared to open a process examining whether the big record labels had misused their copyrights when dealing with online rivals. One day later, the labels asked for a 30-day halt to the case to pursue settlement talks more vigorously. The issue of copyright misuse, a kind of little brother to antitrust law that could theoretically see the labels lose their right to sue people over copyright issues, has quietly been a part of NAPSA's defence for more than a year. But last October, the company brought up specifics about the way that the label's online joint ventures, MusicNet and PressPlay, had acted. For the first time, Patel took serious notice of the issue. MusicNet, which is jointly owned by AOL Time Warner, Bertelsmann and the EMI Group, had struck a deal with Napster that barred the startup from making a similar deal with PressPlay. That, in addition to the big label's decision to work together in a joint venture, deserved scrutiny, Patel said. The labels are already under potentially more serious scrutiny from the US Department of Justice, which has been conducting an antitrust inquiry into their online businesses since the middle of 2000. In Patel's January the 16th transcript, the judge also said she'd open up some scrutiny as to whether labels can prove they own the songs they say Napster users have been stealing. But the Recording Industry of America says the request for a temporary cessation of hostilities stemmed from more pressing concerns. It wants to make sure that a settlement is made before Napster's wallet runs dry, the organization said. And still on file-sharing, the file-sharing service Aimster has been renamed to Madster, following an order to relinquish its internet domain names to America Online Incorporated. A National Arbitration Forum panel ruled last May that Aimster.com and several other domain names registered by Aimster violated the trademark of AOL's popular instant messaging system, AIM. Aimster appealed in court, but later gave up the name under a settlement with AOL. Albany-based Madster, like Aimster, is a free service that allows users to trade music and other types of files over the internet. The site also offers a $4.95 a month US Club Madster subscription service that offers file recommendations made by other members and other extras. Madster is still engaged in a legal fight with the record and movie companies over whether the service violates copyright law. The cases have been consolidated for pre-trial proceedings in Chicago. Several internet search engines are taking fire from a Texas firm that says their pay-for-play policies break trademark law and misdirect consumers. Mark Nutritionals, a diet pill manufacturer in San Antonio, says that people who enter queries about its products, Body Solutions, are misdirected to competing websites that have paid for top billing. The suit claims the search engines are allowing an illegal bait and switch. The lawsuit, believed to be the first of its kind, is a major challenge to pay-for-placement search engines which provide links based not on relevancy but on who pays. The Federal Trade Commission is already investigating websites using this technology and not explicitly telling consumers the results are advertisements in disguise. Mark Nutritionals filed lawsuits against search engines AltaVista, Overture, FindWhat, and Canoodle. The suits, which ask for a total of $440 million in damages, were filed last week in federal court in San Antonio. And many thousands of doctors, researchers, health policy makers, and others in about 70 developing countries will now have free access through the internet to one of the world's largest collections of biomedical literature. They are benefiting from an initiative launched by the World Health Organization and the world's six biggest medical journal publishers. The WHO Director General, Dr. Gro Harlem Brundtland, described the step as perhaps the biggest step ever taken towards reducing the health information gap between rich and poor countries. The Access to Research initiative enables accredited universities, medical schools, research centres, and other public institutions in developing countries to gain access to the wealth of scientific information contained in more than 1,000 different biomedical journals produced by the six publishers. Until now, subscriptions to these journals, both electronic and print, have been priced uniformly for such institutions, irrespective of geographical location. Many key titles cost more than $1,500 per year, and the average subscription costs several hundreds of dollars per year, putting the journals beyond the reach of the majority of health and research institutions in the poorest countries. And the BBC is to split its news portal in two, offering an international and UK version. The change, due within the next 2 months, will see users being greeted by a pop-up asking them which version they'd like to use in the future. Once that question is answered, they'll automatically be redirected there in subsequent visits. Movie studios have announced their latest concept in high-tech home entertainment, videotapes. Universal, 20th Century Fox, DreamWorks and Artisan Entertainment plan as early as the northern summer to release movies on a new generation of VHS videos, high definition and digitally recorded. To a movie-loving public increasingly accustomed to high-quality digital DVDs and convenient video recorders using PC-like hard drives, VHS tape may seem nearly quaint. But with more than 2 million digital TV sets already in homes and not a lot to watch on them from network or cable broadcasters yet, Hollywood hopes consumers will embrace the pumped-up tapes as a way to see more movies in their highest resolution. The DVHS tape promises to look twice as good as DVD on new high-definition TVs, though they're not compatible with today's VCRs. To play them, you'll need a new machine, such as JVC's current DVHS model for about $1,500, the only VCR so far that's D-theater compatible. JVC, which created the DVHS format, plans to license the technology to other makers. Though no titles have been announced, early releases are expected to be along the lines of the Die Hard and Terminator movies at $30 to $40 each. Another plus of the new format is that blank DVHS tapes, which will sell for about $20 each, can record up to 4 hours of broadcast or cable shows in full high-definition format, or up to 50 hours of regular programming. And finally, to whet our appetite for those of us who don't quite yet have third-generation cellular in our backyards, KTF, South Korea's second-largest mobile carrier, said it has signed alliances with three major broadcasting stations to offer television programs over mobile handsets, heating up competition for a top slot in the video-on-demand market among mobile carriers in South Korea. The company has signed the wireless multimedia content business deals with KBS, SBS and MBC. Under the deal, KTF will provide popular television soap operas, entertainment, news, traffic and weather programs over its icon-based multimedia mobile network. And that's News Briefs for another week.